Good afternoon, David.
Yes, welcome.
I can try to be short because it seems as though you had quite a few long talkers this morning. I will say hold on ever so long. Now, I have 2 points to raise with you, but I must first say to you that Roy Marsh, he responded to something that he was said as far as fire service is concerned, and his response was quite similar to what he had planned to say to you. Because I think it was unfair when you say that you haven't heard anything from the people from the fire service, how they feel about the whole movement.
What did I hear?
I can vouch for what Mr. Morris said, David. The chief fire officer came out. I read in the Nation newspaper he commented on the matter.
What did
you
say?
What Mr. Morris told you is the same thing that he said, that it was a decision concerning them, the fair people, as far as the location were concerned.
Man, don't try to confuse my head, man.
Not at all.
Let's recognize one thing. A decision on the location isn't a decision on moving.
But again, David, I would say to you, if your director of the Starcom network decide one day they're going to move that station from River Road, your opinion won't count.
But that's,
it will be solely their decision.
Precisely. You understand it clearly. If a decision has been made at the political level that it has to shut, then it does not matter what the fire chief or anybody else has to say about the decision. You instruct the fire chief to look for an alternative. Don't tell me that because the fire chief has come out and said that he had a hand in the alternative, that says that he agreed with the decision to move.
But who was David Ellis to decide to say that he did not agree with the
decision? As far as I am concerned, he's the fire chief.
But who tell you that he didn't agree with
I
the
don't move? Know.
Oh, okay. Well, God, you don't know.
I don't know.
So then,
and I don't understand what you come here to split hairs about.
So why would you use such a statement then?
My position is clear. I have said to you, the discussion has been about the decision to move the fire service from where it is. The fire chief has come out and said he had a hand in the decision of determining where it was going, but is silent on the whole question of whether he agreed with moving it in the first place. And that is where the discussion is located, whether it is wise to move it in the first place. He can't speak because a decision has been made at the political level. That still leaves me in a position to say, I wish I knew where he stood.
But that's your opinion, but you never know with my feel.
You sound really confused right now.
This is so simple a matter.
You sound utterly confused.
Not at all. I think it's you who are being confused, but then what I really call you about. Because there's 2 matters I want to raise with you, but I can go to another point first. Now, John Goddard, he came complaining about the BART program. But I wonder where this John Goddard was all the time when the Democrat Labour Party continued to bring homegrown programs one after another, which all failed this country. And at the present moment, it is the same homegrown programs that have this country in the position it is now. We went to rock bottom. And it's only BART program that now brings this country back onto solid footing. We are not there yet. But eventually we'll get there. So I don't understand what's this problem. And then when he come tell you about the incompetent running government, and then he went to tell you about, he also mentioned about but from both governments. That's only tongue-in-cheek. He don't mean incompetent running of a country with both governments. He know who he referring to. But let me go to my real main points. Now, David, I don't know if he was really following what's going on in this country as far as the court systems is concerned, especially quite recently. Now, I have observed you had a problem with minibus driver who overtook on the inner side, which was the left side. You can remember seeing that video?
Yeah.
Right, and then he went before the law courts, and I think they gave him the full weight of the law. The punishment he get, I believe, deserved that. He really deserved it, or even more. And there's a sort of, to my mind, a deterrent. The others who would try to do such. I know this morning, again, I read in this morning paper, another motorist who went afoul of the law. And the punishment and the fines that he get, $400 in about four or five different occasions consecutively. I mean, sorry, forfeit, sorry. And then he was also in prison. I agree with those kind of punishments to those two people. And it seems as though there's a punishment that was sort of deter the others. And when you look at all this, David, then to compare now with people who commit heinous crimes in this country as far as murder and violence is concerned, who seems to be getting bail. And look to me as though they are being more, people more favored as the other people in this country.
Well, you know, that is a pretty detailed area. I mean, there has been, we've had court decisions that have spoken about the delay associated with justice. The government has now done a couple of things aimed at trying to improve that situation. It's appointed other judges. It has also increased the number of prosecutors as well. We are actually seeing cases come before the courts now that go as far back as 2012 and stuff like that. So, I mean, there is some positive movement in that regard. It will take a while to clear up that backlog. But we are seeing action at last. And, you know, we got to work on that at two levels. You know, it is, one is within the court system and then the other is within the society as a whole. The earlier discussion that we had, Tall Boy, is really important in trying to prevent more and more people ending up in that situation. Yes, and sure. More and more victims. Mm-hmm. You know?
All right. Let me go to my other point. I'll finish by this.
Mm-hmm.
The motion of no confidence that was carried out against, in fact, was intended to be carried out against Sean Spencer from the Barbados Unity Church.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when I speak the two, for sure. Principals of the schools, I had a teacher, and one was a principal at a secondary school. They both told me that a lot of politics is being played out in the teaching system at the present moment in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And a teacher also told me, she told me a lot of these environmental problems that we get, like she getting fed up with them and she thinks about coming out the system. Because she said, yes, there are some schools that have problems, but she knows for a fact, well, the particular schools that she at, that sometimes the teachers would just walk up for simple, simple matters that they could just continue in school throughout the day. And
But doesn't that speak to a deeper problem? If that is happening,
a division within the school system.
No, it just may reflect that. It could also reflect that the teachers are unhappy about other issues, and they're just, you know, reflecting that by the way they are reacting to what you may see as minor issues. So, you know, what it calls for is some investigation.
Yeah, but the principal, especially one in particular, she told me she was very, very concerned. There's simple things that happen in school that should not be happening at all.
She's
a principal at one school, not one of the schools.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but, you know, I can appreciate her concern. But when you hear of certain problems in a workplace, sometimes there is more in the mortar than the pestle. So saying that you are concerned about it is one thing, but the next step is to ask the question, why? What are the factors that are responsible for the behavior? Why are the people dissatisfied? Why are they moving out on the slightest possible thing? Because something is wrong in the environment, in the industrial relations environment, in the human resource environment. And that's what you got to tackle.
But there we know sometimes something as simple as a roach, someone seen sighting a roach in a school or a classroom, teachers just back up and walk out. Sometimes wonder if teachers don't have roaches at the home, if teachers don't paint the homes.
No, but you are ignoring.
If the neighbors don't paint the
you
homes.
Are ignoring the point. You're ignoring the point I'm making to you. And it is that there's something else that is likely to be at work there, yes. Uh-huh. And therefore, all the parties need to sit down and try to find out what it is.
Okay.
You know? Because people don't react to like that normally. So if you're seeing that something is behind it.
But I began to wonder, one time I started to take my mind back, I wonder if it's
They could not demonstrate nothing at all. They were under pressure, right? Tall boy, please. It's like when you see mosquitoes in the environment, it is because they reside nearby. Please don't stretch it.
But David, let me tell you this.
Come on, let me tell you this.
You can remember that the teachers were under a tremendous amount of pressure. That means they just could not demonstrate. They just couldn't protest.
Under that form of education. You fellas are so mischievous. Look at you, though.
Don't forget to say that whether we barbarous, they're party or not.
You are not.
Everything they
as
want.
Far as I'm concerned, you're not winning with that kind of approach today.
No, they're always
that is stretching it.
They always said when the barbarous, they're
2 years,
office,
listen
they
to
get
me.
Everything they want.
I want to remind you that the Labour Party has been in office now since 2018. And therefore, whatever residual effect these people might have been experiencing under the former administration should have been gone by now. And therefore, there's every possibility that another person looking at it may suggest to you that they may be rebelling against policies of the new government rather than the former one.
I hear you. David, listen, I'm going to close by telling you this. I want to tell you, well, something coming for the next 5 months for the fellas' gear. Thank you, David.
Okay. Down to brass tacks. Hello. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, David.
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you today, man?
Hearing you, a man with money.
My own food is at your dog. You put me to get robbed now for what I ain't got? Huh?
A man with money coming, big money.
Man, listen, I got one important question to ask you before I go on to what I want to carry on.
What is that?
Now, this hotel that the Chinese give the loan to, you know, usually when the Chinese give up money, they always bring along workers.
Yeah.
Now, I want to know if there will be any Chinese coming in to work on Sam Lawrence.
But haven't there been Chinese working on Sound Lords already?
But they don't come back. When they come back?
I don't know.
All right, but that's only a little more work for you. Find out if any more is coming in, and if there's any left, and then out and come back. That is what I want to find out. Now, I always talk about politics of confusion. Now, after listening to Clay Maskell yesterday, I was left in the most confusing part of politics.
How so?
Could you recall Clay Masker speaking on economics during the Barbados Labour Party term in office? And yeah. I like to look for my papers, but I haven't there yet.
The Labour Party? You mean when Mr. Arthur was Prime Minister?
I talk about when they were in opposition.
Right.
When the BLP was opposite prior to 2018, Clay Maskell was telling the country that the dollar was already devalued. You remember that? You remember that term?
I know people have said that, yes.
Okay, good. Now,
but he went on to define that.
Exactly. Now, since that, because we're talking simple that other people could understand. He said the amount of taxes and other things that was taken from the dollar, and what you had to spend, the dollar had no value. I want you, and he said about truth. I want you to be truthful this morning.
Me?
Yeah. I deal with Clay Masker, but I'm speaking through you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Would you say that since the departure of the Democratic Labour Party, that the consumers has been paying more taxes than before?
You want me to say that if we followed the reasoning of Mr. Maskell then and we applied it to today's scenario, we could reasonably conclude that the dollar continued to slide in its value because
exactly.
of the
that's
increase
all
in costs and the
that's
cost
all
of living and all that. Well, that's a
right.
reasonable argument. So,
good.
What's wrong
good.
With
all right,
that?
Let me go a little further. And it's going to be the last. You recall when Owen Seymour Arthur was the leader of the opposition in 2013, a meeting was kept at Springer Memorial School. Now, I heard him talk about privatization of the transport board. Mm-hmm. He said the former administrator did not buy any buses, but they put a lot of minibuses on the route, so therefore they were aiming at privatization. You could recall that debate where Wickham was there. I was there. And it was talking about privatizing the transport board, the same Clyde Maskell. And you remember out of that debate at Springer Memorial School, the Barbados Workers Union came out and said if you privatize transport, because the intention of Owen Seymour Arthur and Clyde Maskell was about privatization along with Wickham. And the Barbados Workers Union leader at the time came out and said that if you privatize, you're causing people to lose jobs. As a result of that privatization talk, they had the old lady on the bus who said that even the pensioners got to pay for bus fare. Now, I say that to say this. Now, when Maskell come back yesterday, I don't like to be critical because he's my friend. But when it comes to facts, we got to deal with facts. Now, we talk about Lashley did not buy, former Minister Lashley did not buy buses. And he put minibuses on the road. Would you agree that this administration put more minibuses on the road than the last administration?
Me?
Huh?
You mean, that's not a question for me to answer, right? That's for Mr. Maskell to answer, because I don't know.
But I'm coming through you, you know. I'm coming through
but
you.
I would like to know what. Where are the statistics? I don't have them.
Because you remember the last, but not least.
I don't have them.
That
do
the
you?
The government said that the people who were laid off, they were going to give them permission to bring in more
do
buses.
Do you have the numbers?
But I can't have the numbers. Okay. But I know for sure, and the public know, that many buses were brought in. And if I say that, if you are privatizing, no less, you would have
I
to
would
be
have,
privatizing.
Let
you.
Me say something to you. I would be surprised if in this short space of time, the government had put more minibuses on the roads than the Democratic Labour Party did in 10 years. And I would say to you that if that were so, there would be even greater confusion on our roads. It would be obvious to all and sundry. I can't see that happening, and the people who are operators in the business not complaining about the difficulties that it was posing for them. And I have seen or heard nothing to suggest
But that is why I start off with the same word, politics of confusion. Because those people were quarreling about the amount of minibuses were placed on the road by Lashley. And now the very government bringing more minibuses and gifts to the former bus drivers.
Listen,
so who
that
is privatizing
listen, listen
now?
To me. It is very dangerous to listen to people like you talk. Because you have absolutely nothing to support this allegation. What you are doing is talking about minibuses being brought in. And then suggesting to the public that that naturally translates into an explosion of minibuses on the streets. Why are you, I must tell you are the person guilty of the confusion. You are trying your very best to create confusion in the way that you are arguing this case. That's where it is. Thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I must say that something is terribly wrong with the way some things are done in this country. We had a lot of debate here about the Hayat. The crux of the debate was that the Hayat should not have proceeded without an environmental impact assessment study and without the people of the area, business people and residents, having an opportunity to have a say on what was happening around them. That was a big debate in the country. But on the other side of the coin, the government decides that it is going to do what it wants to do with the NIS building and the fire service, and the people in the area and the rest of Barbados has absolutely no say. How can it be right that the private sector is held to one standard and the government of Barbados is held to a completely different standard? At the end of the day, it is the people that matter. So here comes this stinging comment from someone who has written it to us. It says, "It is unfortunate that persons and the powers that be who have never lived in the city can take it upon themselves to make decisions for city residents without acknowledging that we have opinions too, and that we should be involved in the decision-making of the development in our city." The person goes on to say, "It is profound disrespect and insensitivity that our historic city is being demolished and all essential services removed to the detriment of our survival," says the writer. "God forbid should there be a fire or natural disaster in this densely populated area. It will be chaotic. Lives and property could surely be lost." This is insanity, says the writer, in its full context. For a few wealthy people who have no respect for our history and our national heroes who fought our colonial masters, so that none of this would happen in determining our destiny. "We have a question for them," says the writer. "How soon will they remove Bethel Methodist Church, St. Patrick's Roman Catholic Cathedral, St. Ambrose Anglican Church and School, St. Paul's Anglican Church, and our beautiful government headquarters to make way for high-rise car parks? Is that all our history is worth? This city will be a desolate and scary place to live, unlike the original plan conceptualized by the former representative for the city. I rest my case," says the writer. His Excellency, the late Right Honorable Prime Minister, Mr. Errol Walton Barrow's ashes must be flying all about the place. He loved Browns Beach. "They even plan to take away that too," says the writer. I don't necessarily share all the views in this, but the one that stands out more than anything else is how the state establishes one rule for the rest of the country and a completely different rule for the state. Something is wrong with that. And the people of the area needed to be consulted in the same way that we called for it on the matter of the Hyatt. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello, you're on
good
the air.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Yes, I want to ask you a question, though, because they say that deforestation, whatever, getting the thing done, you know, on the 17th. Why did they put deforestation in Bridgestone? Could you give me a reason why they put that fire station located in Bridgestone?
I don't know. I can't tell you what the decision was at the time. Why the decision
was. No, they have the fire station in Bristol is there to protect the stores that in Bristol. You see how the stores all together in one? I mean, they might be thinking about the travel time, the distance, the population in Bristol, and if any fire broke out, it would be easy for them to contain the fire. So I don't think that fire station should be moved over to Bristol. I wonder if they think about the times and the distance in this matter.
No.
I agree with the retired fire station man that called early on. That fire station should never be moved over Bridgestone. But let me tell you, Anyhow, I heard the Prime Minister talk about that she's going to get into the fencing down by Browns Beach. You heard what she said, Mr. Allen?
Yes, that people have used that area for parking to go to the beach.
Yes.
And she said she didn't want to get involved in a dispute between two private developers, but as it relates to the people of Barbados who have been using that area, she's prepared to step in, even to the point of the government possibly compulsorily acquiring the land.
Yes, and I must thank her for that, for stepping in, because we want to see the opening window to the sea. We don't know what like Christmas time, there's got boats sailing coming down, and it's look real nice to see the boats coming down, and I meet a they ain't put up a fence and just to block off the window to the sea. I think it's unfair.
Well, you know,
going on in this country
the
that
issue.
Don't know what's going on?
This is going to be the real question, though. As you look towards the development of Bay Street and the south coast of Barbados, whose property will be kept as windows to the sea, and whose property will be allowed for development? You know what's going to happen there, huh?
But let me tell you, I do not think that fire station should move out of Bridgetown. I believe that should start right down there.
My only concern in all of this is process. I have a difficulty with the process that you call for one thing, for one type of project, and something else that also has severe implications for the people who live and work in an area, they don't have a choice in it. They have no say. It is just thrust upon them. And it cannot be right on the one hand and wrong on the other. It just can't happen that way. I mean, that's logical. This is down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm well.
I'm so annoyed that I hope my voice will be...
Well, you better control yourself here today.
No, but I hope... That's why I said before. Dennis is the man, his finger always on the button, so I don't think I have to
especially
work.
When you come on the air annoyed, we got to be even more so.
Okay. Mr. Ellis, a couple of weeks ago, I wake up early morning, and as usual, going to my little stations. Because, you know, the large stations give you 5:30 onward. And I heard the person on the station say that Sam Lawrence will be out for sale. And I said to myself, Sam Lawrence out for sale? I know that it closed down. Construction have been halted. But for sale? And Mr. Ellis, I call you. I think about 2 days after or something like that. And I ask you if you know anything about it.
Me too, you know.
Okay, I also ask you what become of the $170 million that the former government have borrowed to construct the hotel, plus 80 odd million that was taken in bonds to put with the 170. And you didn't know about that neither. You have any information now?
No, I don't have any information for you now either.
Okay. So I heard you speaking before, and you told the person that you didn't know if the Chinese left or not. That was on it the first time. On the ground, you know, because this government believed that for any time there, the things start dropping off tracks. The only problem with it is that the things dropping off tracks still, but the media do not deal with them like one time.
Oh, dear.
But things still dropping off tracks.
Oh, dear.
And we were told on the ground that the Chinese have left.
Okay, so if the Chinese have left, I mean, I also see on the front page today that activity has resumed at Sam Lawrence Castle property.
Okay.
That and it's all because of the Chinese.
But it don't mean that the amount of Chinese that was here at that time is still here. It could be a few.
So what does that mean? At the end of the day, the project, the issue here is whether the project is going to be resumed and ultimately what is going to happen with it.
No, that ain't what I'm dealing with, Mr. Ellis.
What are you dealing with?
I would like the news media, because when I spoke about the first state, to me sometimes you just give me the impression it's by a fact of UOB. But I'm talking about the news media. The same way that the Dig Inter, Care Hill and those things, it is something is strange that a project could shut down. Having a loan of $170 million, forget the 80-odd million Barbadian dollars, and start back with a loan of $20 million. That $20 million is to help clean up the site. Because tell me, what can $20 million do at Sam Lawrence?
All right, look, let me say to you that the questions that you raise are valid. They're worth further investigation, that we don't have enough information on what caused the project to stop and, you know, all that is involved in resuming it. Let's concede that point. and hopefully we'll be able to investigate it and get back to you at a later date. All right? Thanks very much. That's it for today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis, and I thank you on behalf of my producer and technical operator, Dennis Johnson. We want you to have a great afternoon and a pleasant weekend.